You have your Bibles? Turn to Genesis chapter number 15. Well, I'm excited to preach tonight. Boy, it's a good Sunday night crowd. Good to see you. Thank God for you. I hope you have the right Bible. We still stay by the old King James around here. Amen. Amen. We don't apologize for it. There's some out there apologizing for it. I am not going to apologize for what I stand on. Amen. And that crowd can go liberal if they want to, but I'm staying by the stuff. Genesis 15. I wanted to share one thing. We mentioned the young people, and I hope I get this story right. Grant, if I don't, you just correct it, okay? Because I could, not have it exactly right. Our kids, did they not compete down there? Now, I want to ask you this question. Our group, I guess all of them, pretty much all of them, got together and went down there to compete. Now, I want to ask you this, so I'll make sure I got this right. They did not actually prepare to go compete. No, they didn't. They did not go to prepare to compete in that, in the singing down there at the conference. But here, I thank God that the Spirit of God got them all together, and they united, and they done it themselves. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah. And came in numeral uno. Amen. Y'all better be glad y'all done that. Amen. Man, I've been sharing that thing all over the country, man. I said, number one, Taze Valley Baptist Church. And the young people, I want you to know in the heart of your pastor, you are number one. Amen. Thank God for you. Will you stand with your Bibles open to Genesis chapter number 15. I've got a thought tonight, and if you'll stay with me tonight, I'll help you. Genesis chapter number 15. You know the context of Genesis 15 is that God was going to reaffirm his covenant with Abraham. I want you to know I've got a God that doesn't lie. I got a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In Genesis 12, he told Abraham and made a covenant with him. And in Genesis 15, he's going to reaffirm the covenant. Now, when he ratify the covenant, when you ratify the covenant, there's special things that's got to happen. And I want to share that with you tonight. Then I got one specific thought out of this passage that I'm going to preach tonight. And I'm not going to hold back, okay? I want all y'all to know I'm preaching with a hammer down tonight. Genesis 15, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Boy, I like the word of God. I'll actually start at verse number 6. The Bible said, this is talking about Abram. He believed God. He believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, I want to stop right now and tell anybody listening to me online, by the way of live stream, I am not a hyper-dispensationalist. I don't believe that they were saved by works in the Old Testament and saved by grace in the New Testament. Right there in that passage, it said it, he believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. And if some of the yahoos that believe that would just read Romans chapter 4, when it talks about David and talks about Abram and Abraham, that his faith in Christ is what counted. And when you stand before God, it won't be one filthy work you performed. It'll be all because of what Christ done.
Amen.
Whether Old Testament, New Testament, or tribulation period. I just feel like saying that because there's a movement today that's trapped. Man, they're warped. They're called the Mid-Acts movement. They don't believe in the epistles. They don't believe in the Old Testament. They don't believe in the Gospels. They don't believe in the Old Testament. All they believe is from the middle of Acts to the epistles. Don't even hold to Revelation. And that's all they believe. But I want you to know, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Amen. I just preach it. I just tell it like it is. That's the only way I know how. And in verse number 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord. Now remember, he's reaffirming. the covenant that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, now notice this wording. I want you to catch all this. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now notice this. This is God speaking to him. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all of these, and he divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. Now notice verse 11, because it's interesting. And I really got my mind on it a lot. And when the fowls came down unto the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
How many caught that? And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And then lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now notice this. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, now they're ratifying the covenant, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces.
Amen.
Woo! Somebody ought to shout right there. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Under thy seed have I given this land, from the rivers of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Our Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Now, Lord, I know what you got on my heart. I know how you bared it on my heart. I know how heavy it is on me tonight. I know how needful this message is tonight. But now I need that sweet Holy Ghost to empower me. I'm yielding to him tonight. I'm not looking for him. I'm not asking him to show up. I know he's with me. I just want him to show out. I want him to have all of me. I am yielding myself to him, the real preacher. And God, do some work tonight. We'll praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. As I said to you earlier, God was given instruction to Abram for the ratification of the covenant. Aren't you glad that God keeps his word? Let God be true and every man a liar. Now here's what happened. God told him to get five different animals. A heifer of 3 years, a she-goat of 3 years, a ram of 3 years, and a turtle dove and a pigeon. And what he was supposed to do was offer them and put them on the altar. Somebody help me. That was his job. See, after he'd done his job, then God was going to do his job. I'm going to make a statement. There's a passage of Scripture in the New Testament. I wasn't going here, but God just flapped it in my brain. It said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It didn't say you work for salvation. We don't work to be saved. We work because we're saved. But we are to work out our own salvation. Amen. Now notice this. I don't know if you have this problem. Here's what he was doing. He was told to lay down that sacrifice on that altar, and Jeff guarded. Guarded. Because here's what was going to happen. There was going to be some fowl, some birds that were going to swarm down. Are y'all listening? And eat of that flesh and ruin that offering. I think I'm going to preach on this tonight. Our battle against the birds. Our battle against the birds. Oh, by the way, I am going somewhere. Let me give you three things. The last point is what I want to consecrate on. Number one, there was a sacrifice that must be presented. God told him exactly. Come on now. Exactly how to do it. Did he not? He told him exactly how to do it. By the way, last time I checked, this is our manual. Please don't come to me and say you don't know what to do. Most of you know more Bible than you practice right now. Please don't come to me and say, well, I don't have no idea what God, I don't have no clue what God wants out of me. Well, you got a Bible just like I have. You can study just like I have. You can read just like I have. You ought not to be in the dark on what God wants you to do. And God revealed to him that he had to present a sacrifice. Now notice, there's a sacrifice got to be presented. Will you do me a favor? Just hold your place there. I'm coming back. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Just a minute. Just turn over there. Now, the sacrifice that Abram offered was a dead sacrifice. Hello? He killed every one of those animals. But I want you to know what God wants you to do. Go to Romans chapter 12. Verse number 1. Abram was to offer a sacrifice. New Testament believer. New Testament believer, you are to present a sacrifice to God. And it's not an animal. It's not a pigeon. It's not a turtle dove. It's not a heifer of 3 years old. It's not a goat of 3 years old. No, sir, it's your body. Whew. Look at Romans 12. If you're there, say amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's say a few things about that. How earnest is the request? He said, I beseech you. God's begging you to give your body a living sacrifice. Hey, by the way, how many of y'all agree with me? The Holy Ghost lives in there. Now, I'm going to say this tonight. It may mess up a bunch of charismatics, but I'm going to say it anyway. I got all the Holy Ghost that I ever was going to get when I got saved. I was baptized in the Spirit one time, and that was for all. Now, there is many feelings, but one baptism. There was one time I was indwelt with the Holy Spirit. I have been infilled many times, and we need to get our doctrine right there. Somebody say amen. And how extensive it was to present. It said, present. I want you to present your body. Now, here's the difference between Abraham and us. Abraham didn't present his body, he presented a sacrifice. But he still had a battle. Come on, somebody help me. God said, I want all of you. I want your body, I want your soul, I want your spirit, I want you to commit. It's a matter of commitment. Somebody help me preach. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall direct the paths. You know what I see in our New Testament churches today? It bothers me. It wears me out. It's a lack of commitment. We've got some of this fair weather junk. Somebody help me preach. I mean, man, they in one day and out the next day. You can't count on them to tithe. You can't count on them to be faithful. You can't count on them to sow in. You can't count on them to put out a tract. You can't count on them to pray. You can't count on them to fast. They just fair weather Christians. Son, good preaching, Reverend. See, when you commit something, it's an act of surrender. Yeah. The amount of surrender. He said that you present your body. That's what God wants. And it's a matter of consecration. A living sacrifice. A complete sacrifice. A contrasting sacrifice. Yours has got to be a living one. Amen. It's got to be a devoted sacrifice. It's got to be holy. God, we need to get cleaned up. Let's just tell it like it is. We got to get the junk out of the trunk. You know what's wrong with us? We got too much junk in our trunks. We got too much mess in us. No wonder we can't be in the will of God. No wonder we can't be in the center of the will of God. No wonder we can't get the job done because we got too much junk in us. It'll be a delightful sacrifice, acceptable unto God. I want you to know something. When I got saved, got called to preach, I had one goal in my life, and that's to lift up Jesus, delight Jesus, please Jesus. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. My whole being since I've been saved, since I've been called to preach, is to give a delightful sacrifice. I'm not holding back on God. God, you got it. And then it's expedient. A reasonable service. Some of you are saying, God's asking something of me is not reasonable. Well, he just asked you to come to church 3 times a week. Pay your tithes. Be faithful. Give to the missions. Go soul winning. Oh, that really sounds hard. Come on, help me preach. It's reasonable. God ain't never asked you to do something unreasonable. Come on now. Hey, what I'm doing is not unreasonable. Somebody said, why have you given your whole life to God since you were 21 years old? You committed to God and you've been preaching, pastoring somewhere for 45 years, the same place for 41 years. Because I want you to know, I feel it's reasonable. It don't bother me. I'm hoping God keeps me here till I breathe my last breath. Y'all bury me somewhere, hand it over to the next guy. I ain't got no desire to be something special. I ain't no desire to be on the who's who. All I want to be is the pastor of Taze Valley Baptist Church, and I'm going to give a reasonable sacrifice. I'm going to delight in it. I'm not going to be a sour puss. I'm not going to go around, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm a preacher. God, I wish you'd have done anything to me to make me a preacher. Oh, God, why did you do that? It's the greatest calling in the world. Greatest thing ever happened to me that God counted me faithful to be put into the ministry. So there's too many people, listen to me, that dread it instead of delighting in it. That's not my message. That's a good thought. And then secondly, I surrender. We must practice. Now, I want you to know something. How many of you, look at me, I want you to look real close. How much surrender have you given? Total? Or just about as much as you think you can take? Hey, the enemy's circling. Come on now. And halfway surrender is not going to get it. Halfway commitment's not going to get it. I've met so many, I know preachers that are better preachers than me, got better oratory skills than me, that's smarter than I am in the Bible. They ain't in the ministry today. They were talented, but they weren't committed and surrendered. I want you to know it takes a real Christian to sing the song, I surrender all. You can lip service that all day, but I want you to know it takes a real man, a real woman, a real young person to say, I surrender all. God, here I am. If it's the mission field, if it's preaching, if it's being a plumber, if it's being a lecturer, I don't care. I'm giving my life to you, and you use me. Now, lastly, and this actually is the message. You say, what was the rest of that? Getting you ready for this. Now go back to Genesis. Look at it again one more time. Look at verse number 11. Go back there. Hurry. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now hear me out. If the fowls flew down and the birds flew down onto those carcasses, why don't you think that the birds ain't going to try to fly around your carcass and steal the sacrifice? Oh, I don't know if y'all got that. See, we got a battle tonight, and that battle is, hey, Abram had a battle with the birds, and by the way, we got a battle with the birds. You said, well, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Number three, I said, snatching we must prevent. We cannot let anything to snatch away the seed, the work, the consecration, the commitment we have. Or if we do, we will fail. Now notice, the identity of these fowls. A ravenous, this was a ravenous bird, a hawk. We've got chickens out. Marguerite, you know Marguerite's got chickens. And there's a hawk out there. Took one of them, I made him down and got it. Man, that chicken was the best laying chicken of all. Snatched the whole thing. Are y'all listening? How about that Matthew 13 about the story of the sower? And in verse 4, it talked about sowing the seed on the wayside. You know what happened? The birds came down and stole the seed. You know who those birds were? They were sent from the devil. Somebody help me. I knew they were. I'll tell you three things about them. They're infernal. They're from the devil. They're internal. By the way, your battle as a Christian is in your flesh. Whatsoever is in the flesh is no good thing. You cannot win the Christian life in the flesh. And they were external. And whether you like it or not, there's a whole bunch of external birds in your life trying to steal your joy. Amen. You say, well, won't you name some? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Because now I'm going to name them. I'm a name it preacher. Can I name some, Lois? They flying around. Number one. The fowl of worldly ambition. You know, the whole problem with us is we got our plans, and our plans most of the time revolve around this world. But my Lord said, lay ye up treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt. Somebody say amen. We got a bunch of ambitious people today. Come on now. And they, prideful. I remember years ago, this is when the church wasn't as large as it is now. My salary wasn't where it is now, where y'all have blessed me. It was not near that. And I had a young preacher call me. And he called me up. He said, Pastor John, I'm thinking about moving on from the church that I'm at. He said, I got problems here. And I said, well, you just go to the next church, you're going to have problems there too. They may look different, but they the same. I said, by the way, what do you want? Now, this is back in the late 70s, early 80s. I'm talking about almost 40 years ago. He said, well, can I tell you what I want? I said, go for it, buddy. Boy, he was ambitious. He said, I need a salary. I'm talking about 35 years ago, 40 years ago. I need about $50,000 to $60,000. And I need the insurance, a car, house, and a good benefit plan. Here I'm sitting down here with about 200 people. I ain't making that. And I hesitated. And I said to him, if I find one of them, I'll take it myself. You want this world's eat up with worldly ambition. The ministry isn't for worldly ambition. The ministry is for God called people that is doing it for the Lord. And if God blesses you financially and helps you like this church has helped its pastors, great. That's icing on the cake. Hallelujah. They ought to do that. But we ought not to expect it. When I started here, it wasn't like that, friend. My wife and I, our salary got cut in half, and we came down here and by faith knew we couldn't make our bills. But I know I have a great God. I know that I put him first. He'll take care of my needs, and he'll take care of your needs. Let me go on. Man, number two, I got to watch this. Y'all, maybe you spiritual folks don't. How about them birds of wrong attitudes? All you do, hey, by the way, your talent's not the most important thing you got. You can have activity in your Christian life, and you can have action in your Christian life, but if you have a rotten attitude, God ain't gonna bless you. And you know, there's some people, nothing's good enough for them. I mean, I think if Jesus came and preached Sunday morning, somebody would gripe at him. Come on now. You know what? God, how many knows God's blessed this movement? He's still blessing this movement. But there's some people up here, I guarantee, they got an attitude problem. I want you to know something. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the right attitude, God will not use you. And you got to fight that off. Somebody asked me the other day, you ever have a bad attitude? Is the Pope a Catholic? Yes. But I'll tell you what, when them birds of my attitude come, and they do come to me, I had to swat them off. I had to get rid of them. I mean, you know, you pastor churches and you see people willfully acting like idiots. It affects your attitude. I mean, I want to get him right by the neck, and I won't tonight. Amen. Is that amen I won't, or just amen? Number three. Now listen, careful. You better hear this. The fowls of wicked appetites. Now I'm going to quieten down a little bit. I said this a little this morning. But you're in the flesh, and you got an appetite in the flesh. And if you don't fight those birds off, each one will attack you. Amen. And you're not above falling into pornography. Amen. One of the number one battles I have as a pastor in these last 20 years is the inundation of pornography in our churches. Nationwide, they say 50% of Christians are in pornography. I personally believe it's higher. Wicked appetites. That's a bird you got to push off. We got people that says they're saved into drugs, alcohol, social drinking, ungodliness, That's a wicked appetite. And you say, what do I have to do? You got to beat that burden off. I got saved from that stuff. I had a preacher ask me, and he confessed to me. He asked me, "You, I know you came from a bar, and I know you did some drinking when you was in your later adolescence." He said, "Have you drank since you got saved?" And he looked at me, and I looked him right in the face. I said, "Absolutely not. I've not had one beer. I never did smoke dope, but I said I've never smoked dope. I don't use pornography." You know what he told me, Rich? "Pray for me because I have." I didn't pound him in the ground. But I did tell him this. I said, "Sir, if you don't get rid of that wicked appetite and run that bird off, it'll destroy your life." And how many marriages are upended right now? How many lives upended because of that junk? Help me preach. I'd like to stay long with that. The fouls of wretched activity. By the way, you start getting on pornography, start watching the wrong junk, look at me. Tell you, next thing you're going to do, you start getting in the chat rooms. And you start talking to people that you ought not to be talking to. You're married. You ought to be holy and beat the birds off. Amen. Oh, it's quiet in here. You say, "Why are you preaching this?" Because listen to me, I'm aware of something. If you're saved and you're in the flesh, the birds are out there trying to swarm you. I'm done. I'm hurrying. The birds of wallowing apathy, indifference, cold and indifferent. I've got preachers, I'll tell you what's happened to them, Jeff, they quit fighting. They don't fight for the King James anymore. They don't fight for blood anymore. They don't fight for convictions anymore. They have just given in. They're tired of fighting. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to fight the good fight. Keep up the faith. Stay for God. Somebody help me. We need to beat off the birds. I'm done. I'm hurrying. What do you think the intention of those birds are foul is? Here's what it is. What they do in Matthew 13, Lois, they went and tucked the seed out. Now, here's what the bird wants to do in your life. Number one, wants to get your conversation. He wants to get your commitment. He wants to get your convictions. He wants to get your communion with God. He wants to get your confidence with God. He wants to get your contentment. That's what he's trying to do. And then the fight we endeavor. We've got to consistently fight. Constantly fight. Continuously fight. Recognize danger. Some of you are playing with fire. That's why you're getting burned. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say this right in front of all y'all. You have a problem with pornography? Get you a flip phone and do away with your smartphone outfit. You can't control it? Get you a flip phone. Good preaching anyhow. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy it for you. Listen to me. You got to not enter into temptation. You got to fight the birds off. Then lastly, in verse 17, I about to be done, but man, this is good. You know what God done? After he fought them off. And by the way, our job's to fight them off. Then you know what God done? Jeff, this is awesome. God made him take a nap. Put him to sleep, Joe. And while he was napping, God was pleased with his sacrifice and swooped in with smoking fire. And God walked through the sacrifice. See, I do know this. You can only go so far. But when we went far as we can, God will give you a nap and take over for you. And when you please God with your sacrifice and present your body the way you are, then he's going to bring the fire in your life. He's going to hover around on your life. He's going to swoop down on your life. Well, glory to God, Brother Rich, I'm getting happy. Glory to God, God's going to bless you. But you got to put the sacrifice out, which is your body. And then you got to be responsible to fight the birds off when they come your way. Amen. Bow your head with me. Lord, thank you. Get it with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now listen to me. I'm not coming down hard on nothing. I just want to do you a favor. How many of you realize you're in a big battle tonight? Raise your hand. Come on. Here's what I want you to stand. Every one of you that feels you like you're in a battle, just come around this altar and say, God, won't you give me power to fight the birds off? I want to be in your will. I want to have the right attitude. And if you're not saved, you need to come and get saved. Trust Christ. Folks are coming from all over. Our Father, touch now. Help us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sing it.
All to Jesus I surrender. All
that's right. Come on.
Him
come on.
I freely give.
Fight them off. Lord, here I am.
I will ever love and trust him.
Yeah.
In his presence daily. I surrender all.
Oh, can you come and do that tonight? Can you say, God, all to you I surrender.
Surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Yes.
I surrender.
Just surrender.
Thank you.
That's good. Hallelujah.